Hey there, travelers. I'm Nurse Kelly. I'm the Chief Nurse Advocate for Wanderly, and you're listening to another episode of the Happy Traveler Podcast. And this is an exciting week because this is the second week, I guess, if you're looking at it Monday through Friday of Nurses Week. Obviously, it's all 1 week, but this is our second week. We've had a weekend break it up in the middle, and I'm just so excited. I just really don't think it's a coincidence that Nurses Week this year is right smack dab in the middle of this pandemic, and also, obviously, it's the year of the nurse 2020, so it's just kind of an exciting time. Nurses Week is always my favorite week of the year, but of course, this year, with it just being, you know, these nurses are just being absolutely called to the front line. They're absolutely heroes, and we're just having to step up like never before. It's just such an exciting time to be a nurse. So I'm so happy. So I hope you guys are all having a fantastic Nurses Week. I hope that in whatever way possible with everything going on that you guys are being showered with love and support and gifts and everything that you could possibly need. It's just a fun, exciting time. So we've been trying on the Happy Traveler for the last couple of months to bring you guys guests that have been giving updates on everything kind of happening COVID-19 and just kind of giving you across the country, you know, different scenarios of what people are seeing, what's going on, tips and tricks of how to stay safe at home, things to do in quarantine, stuff like that. So today we're not going to talk about COVID-19, but we are going to talk to an awesome travel nurse. I hope you guys are already following him on Instagram. But I met Isaac Harris last week in a travel nursing kind of Zoom meetup, and it was super, super fun. And he is just a really bright light in the travel nursing community and so much fun to talk to. Just an absolute spitfire and a bunch of fun. He will be doing a takeover for us on the Wanderly Instagram on May 16th too. So if you listen to this podcast and you have to hear more, you can check him out on Instagram, and you can also watch his takeover on our Wanderly IG on May 16th. But yeah, today we're just going to learn all about him. He's a travel nurse. He lost 115 pounds. We're going to talk to him about his fitness tips and tricks and just get to know him. So Isaac, thank you so much for jumping on. I know you're from Louisiana, but do you want to kind of tell people a little bit about your background? You know, what led you into nursing school, how long you've been a nurse, and what you're up to right now?
Sure. First of all, I want to say thank you, Kelly and Wanderly, for having me today. I'm so excited about this. Yeah. But yeah, my name is Isaac Harris, and I am from West Monroe, Louisiana, which I'm not sure if people are familiar with where that's at. I know we have a famous, our claim to fame is the Duck Dynasty TV show on A&E, which I don't think they're filming anymore, but that is where I'm from. But yeah, I'm only 23 years old, so I have had a very quick nursing progression in my career, but I finished nursing school in 2017. And I worked for a little over a year in the emergency room, and then I decided I wanted some more critical care experience, so I switched to medical ICU, and I stayed in medical ICU for about a year and three-ish months, and then I decided, you know what, it's time to take this to the next level. I had been scrolling Instagram and moved out of my apartment in Louisiana and hit the road, and it's been the best decision I've ever made. It has been so much fun.
That is so cool. Well, the first question that just pops into my mind is, you're traveling, which is incredible. We have obviously so many travel nurses that listen to this, but you're traveling as an ER nurse, and I really do believe that that is very, very different. I think that it's just every ED, I think, across America has kind of its own culture, its own feel, its own pace, and its own experience versus new nurses, and with travelers kind of coming into that mix, I think it's different for every single one. Like, I don't think any ER traveler is ever going to have the same experience. So how did you feel when you went into travel ER? Was it when you left your hospital in Louisiana, was it way more difficult as a travel nurse in ER? Did you feel like there were a lot of similarities? What was your experience? Because I just feel like ED's got to be different in every single hospital.
Yes. So the ED is so different at every different hospital because there's so many like protocols and stuff to do with like throughput and the flow through the ER. Mm-hmm. And different ERs have different ideas of how to do things, how to make triage faster, how to get patients to rooms faster. There's different ways of like call and report to the floor. Mm-hmm. There's all different kinds of things. And just like you said, the culture can be so different in every ER. But I think part of being an ER nurse is being very adaptable. Mm-hmm. And you have to be ready for any situation. And that's not just any medical emergency. That's literally any environment that you're put into. They have different equipment. They have different policies. They have different, you know, management personalities, all different kinds of stuff. It's definitely interesting, but I feel like it just makes you a stronger nurse.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Well, I love too that you wrote down kind of in your bio for me that you worked ER straight out of school, because I think that's one, a true testament to your skill. And obviously, you know, those people that you interviewed with at the ED feeling the exact same way about you. And that's really awesome. So many nurses ask me, how do I get ICU or ED right out of school? And to be honest with you, I was ICU right out of school too. And it's where I went to school, which was in Iowa, that is really, really uncommon. I mean, it's very rare that they don't require you to go through some sort of even new grad orientation on like a tele or a med surg floor before you can even apply. So I was kind of like you, where that was just in my plan. But will you talk a little bit about how that happened for you? Because so many people want, you know, those critical spots, and it is difficult to get them as a new grad. So do you want to talk a little bit about your process of going straight into the ER, and then also telling people a little bit how you became board certified? Because so many people have questions. You know, you've seen those nurses that give keynotes or whatever it might be at conventions, and you see that they're like all the like acronyms of the initials after their like their credentials after their name can be like seven sentences long, and you're like, what does half of this mean? Well, I think people want to hear about that. So do you want to talk a little bit about going into the ER and then, you know, what it meant to you to become board certified and what that looks like?
Yeah. So the best way to probably go straight into ER or ICU would be to try to apply for a nurse tech position. When I graduated, before I graduated nursing school, I started in my local ER as an ER registration clerk. And then I eventually moved into an ER tech position. And that was a way for them to vet me and kind of see like what kind of team player, what kind of nurse I was going to be. So if you have it available to you to be a nurse tech or some type of just any position in the department that you want to work in, that would be the best way to probably get your foot in the door. But another thing you can do is become board certified in whatever specialty you want. So a little bit about me. I've been working in ER and ICU. I decided after my little ICU stint in St. Louis that I didn't want to go back to ICU. I was kind of done with it. My heart is in ER. It's what I love to do. It's more of the pace, more of the work that I enjoy doing. So I decided, okay, I'm a travel nurse. There's travel nurses coming down a dozen. How am I going to make myself more marketable? How am I going to make myself more competitive when I'm submitting my applications to all these facilities? And so I decided to become board certified in emergency nursing. And you basically take a test, a board certification exam. Those vary depending on what specialty you're in. And when you complete that, it's a credential that's added behind your name that you were talking about. And it just shows your colleagues and potential employers your dedication to your specialty, and that you would go above and beyond and continue in your education and your commitment to your field.
Yeah, it is more competitive. It's so crazy that we have this ginormous nursing shortage, and yet nursing, especially if it's in a specific unit or hospital, is still really competitive in a lot of areas, especially, you know, really heavily populated areas. So I think the board certification is such a good idea if that's, you know, their passion and yours, which is so cool. I'm so glad that you shared too. We were talking before we jumped on for everyone that's listening on the podcast, and Isaac's been traveling too right now by himself. So obviously we're all in quarantine, but he's been kind of doing this himself. And I know that one way that you pass the time is with your workouts. And I'm so excited to get into this because I was like, really overweight when I was in high school, and my mom threw me in swim team and I lost 70 pounds, and then, you know, I was able to keep it off after that. But I was always the one that was growing really tall, so I didn't ever really care about what I was eating. I was always so tall, but then all of a sudden I stopped growing, and so when I would keep eating the same way with those same habits, like, I gained a ton of weight. So my mom just tossed me in swim team when I was a senior in high school, and the weight fell off, and luckily I've been able to kind of manage it ever since. But I love meeting fellow people who've lost like a huge chunk of weight, because it's just such a feeling of accomplishment, but it also takes serious dedication and commitment. Like, weight doesn't just fall off because you stop eating bad food. Like, it's totally a commitment, and you've been continuing to do it. And I was looking at your Instagram and seeing all of your fun fitness posts. So you got to kind of want to talk about your journey to what, you know, how you made that decision that you wanted to lose weight, and then, you know, what programs and things that you've been doing and how you're maintaining now.
Sure. Absolutely. Yes. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. There have been literal blood, sweat, and tears. But yeah, in nursing school, I skipped the freshman 15 girl. I like went straight to the, I went big or went home. I did the freshman, well, I did the freshman 100. Okay. And, so throughout nursing school, you know, it was a dark time. I'm sure we've all been through that. It's a lot of studying. It's a lot. I've balanced my life. You know, the little triangle that says like sleep, good grades, or social life, and you can only have two. I definitely did social life and grades. So there was lots of like partying, lots of eating and drinking, and nursing school is already so stressful. I think that's how I coped with it. So like when I left high school and then when I graduated nursing school, she was hungry. Okay. She was a little heavy. And, so yeah, I always told myself during nursing school, I would try to lose weight. And I would be so stressed with nursing school. I was like, no, this isn't going to work. You're just going to have to wait until you graduate. And like your only job is going to work and you're only going to work 3 days a week. So you have 4 days off to, you know, focus on fitness, which looking back, I should have never done that because that's not the way you should think about it. But that's what I did. So when I graduated nursing school, first of all, I lost like 20 to 30 pounds just starting my first job in the ER. I worked in a very busy ER and it was lots of walking. I think when I left some days, it would say I walked like 13 to 15 miles in the ER. And so I think going into the ER and losing just a little bit of weight, being more active in my career, that's what really sparked. I was like, okay, now you've got this going. You need to continue. Like, you have no excuses now. All you do is work. I hadn't started my BSN online program yet. So it's like, you have nothing to do on your 4 days off. My friends decided, it was kind of like a New Year's resolution thing in 2018. They actually started going to CrossFit in January. I did not end up joining them until April of 2018. But yeah, I started off with a small CrossFit class at my local CrossFit gym. Shout out CrossFit West Monroe. It's changed my life. I love everybody there. Yeah, I started going to CrossFit. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. I remember, this is just a little funny story. The first day I ever did CrossFit, we did so many squats that my legs were shaking. Like, I'm sure everyone's been there and they've said jello legs. But y'all don't understand. I decided I was going to come back the next morning and I walked outside of my apartment. And when I stepped off the curb to get in my car, I collapsed. And no. I spent both of my knees. My knees were bleeding.
Oh, no.
I still got in my car and drove to CrossFit. And I showed up to my second CrossFit class, standing there with my knees just pouring blood.
Oh, my gosh. And that is so funny. And I feel you. I totally remember my first couple CrossFit classes. It's so brutal.
Yeah, and so the CrossFit coach was just staring at me, and she was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, girl, I'm fine. Just keep going. Don't worry about me over here." And sorry, I'm about to choke.
No, you're fine. I totally understand that. When I started in California, I literally was in that same position. Like, I remember the first couple CrossFit classes, they're like, okay, our warm up is running a mile. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's more work after that. Y'all have lost your mind.
Oh my gosh. I used to get like aggravated. I would be at CrossFit and we would do this like really hard, what I thought was the workout. And then you're like, okay, the warm up's complete. Now let's do the WOD. And I'm like, oh, hold up. I'm going home. I worked out already.
Absolutely. And they'd always tell me, Kelly, you're using, like I said, I always use the women's bar, which like, duh. And then I would never put any weight on it other than like what would just lift the bar off the ground. So like those really flat, skinny fives or tens that like look like little discs, they're not like actual weights, because I absolutely hated it. And they would always be so, they would just all laugh at me because, you know, we had like those like really strong, like ginormous human beings, like every CrossFit does. But I'll tell anyone listening, like, you absolutely do not have to have like some crazy athletic or like Olympic lifting background to do CrossFit. And CrossFit completely changed my life. Like, I looked so different. I felt so much stronger. But yeah, you definitely have to cater each WOD and even the warm-ups to kind of like yourself, or you might die when you first begin. Like, I could have never done, like, a full actual workout, like, with the weights they were suggesting. Like, I physically couldn't do it. So they were really good with adjusting with me, but I loved CrossFit.
Oh, my gosh. I'm obsessed with it. It has changed my life, but it was so much fun when I first started. Exactly like you said, you have to, like, make sure that you're adjusting it to your fitness level, and that's one of the cool things I like about CrossFit. I know everyone thinks, like, CrossFit is dangerous and stuff, and because at one point, I think the only thing advertised about CrossFit was, like, flipping tires and throwing 300 pounds over your head and stuff like this, but it's actually very modifiable, and for any fitness level, I highly recommend starting doing that. But I just, like, continue to go to CrossFit, and the weight started falling off, and then one of my coaches was like, okay, now that you've started losing weight, just, I hadn't changed anything about how I was eating. It was just strictly being more active. And I was never athletic, like, never. I was in marching band. That was the most, like, sports I did, was marching around the field playing an instrument. But once the weight had fallen off, without even changing my diet, one of my coaches came up and was like, okay, now let's start the nutrition part of this. And she started me on, people call it different things. I call it if it fits your macros. People would just, some say counting macros or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she basically weighed me and found out, like, exactly how much muscle mass, how much body fat I had. And then she gave me a certain amount of protein, carbs, and fats to eat every day. And when I started doing that, then the weight really just, like, started falling off. And before I knew it, I think I started travel nursing April of last year. So it had been exactly 1 year since I started CrossFit. By the time I started traveling, I had lost, like, I want to say, like, 80 to 90 pounds, wow. Which was one of the big things that I was, like, I felt, like, even more ready to start travel nursing, because not that it mattered if I was traveling overweight or whatever, but it just was a boost of confidence in all aspects of my life, so... Mm-hmm. I just was like, you know what, now I'm 80, 90 pounds lighter, it's time to go travel nursing. But I remember being so scared, like, that leaving my CrossFit gym and my routine and, like, going to the uncertain of my schedule, like, where I was going to be living with, like, would I have my food scale and, like, all the stuff, you know, that I had a routine set up, like, exactly what I ate when I went to work out. And I'm like, okay, when I travel nurse, it's not going to be my gym. It's not going to be my house. I'm not going to have, what if I don't have time to do this? Or, you know, what if I fall off the wagon and gain all my weight back? But, that's when I first started traveling, found this program called Street Parking. And Street Parking is a program, it's a home CrossFit program for people with minimal time and minimal equipment. And so basically you pay $19 a month, and every day they have a workout for you. And they have different programs based on how much equipment you have. So the most basic program is a workout with, like, either no equipment or just dumbbells. And then they have different programs for people all the way up to that have, like, a full home gym with, like, an assault bike and, like, a pull-up bar and all the stuff that you can have. Nice. So it's really a cool program to do at home based on whatever time or equipment you have available. And that's what I've been doing while I've been traveling. In St. Louis, I did go to a box and go to a CrossFit gym. But there were days where, like, my schedule, you know, as a travel nurse, you're kind of put in wherever they want you to work. So you're not going to have, like, a very regular schedule. And different CrossFit gyms have different class schedules. So on days where I couldn't make it to the CrossFit box, I did my street parking workouts. And I'm glad to say that I have been traveling over a year and a half, and I'm still losing weight. I weighed last week, and it was the lowest I've ever weighed. So it's been a slow but steady journey, which I feel is, like, the way you're supposed to do it, instead of, you know, dropping 150 pounds and then gaining it all back. I'm 2 years in and I'm still slowly losing. But yeah, it is hard to continue to do it as a travel nurse, but it's definitely doable.
That is so awesome. And it's so inspiring too, to hear that you're still doing it while traveling, because that means that we can all be doing something in quarantine. And it is so funny. Like, I don't know if you have this same problem, Isaac, but I definitely did. After I lost, you know, my huge chunk of weight it was like it, some of it would come back and then I could get it off again, and then some of it would come back and I could get it off again. And I also obviously competed in 4 pageants in the last 5 years, and I would prepare really, really hard for a pageant, but that's not necessarily sustainable. And it's not that it's unhealthy or anything like that, but you don't want to eat necessarily like that, or you want to indulge, you know, you want to have
right. stuff.
So for me, it was always this fluctuation, right? It was this like roller coaster of weight, and it was never ever got to back to where it was, you know, when I was in high school, where it was really bad. But I have struggled with that. And so if anyone listening to that's like, I just can't keep it, you know, always on the losing scale and you kind of fluctuate, that absolutely happens to me too. But just kind of like Isaac was saying, if you can just find something that you can do from home or something that you know, motivates you, that you enjoy doing. I also was able to keep a lot of my weight off by finding SoulCycle, which is my workout of choice. It's what I like to do and I enjoy doing it. So I look forward to going. I really loved my CrossFit gym too, which now is like 30 minutes from where I live, unfortunately, but you have to find one for sure that has people that you know, where you feel like you do have a gym community, and then one that you actually enjoy doing, because I don't enjoy working out. It's like not really something that I like can't wait to do. But when I found SoulCycle or that specific CrossFit gym, I really did look forward to it because there was community and it just didn't feel like the ones before.
Right.
And I loved it so much. So I love that you mentioned that we have more in common than I initially thought, because I totally yeah. know what that's like. And I still struggle with it. People will see me and they will not believe it. And I'll show them old photos, or even in quarantine, the first month of quarantine, I gained 7 pounds. Like it is what it is for people like us. You know, it's always something we're going to have to be conscious of. And that's just the way that it is. But I love a good workout, and I love the body, and I just love being able to kind of manipulate in those aspects and just kind of keep working towards those sorts of goals, because they're fun, and seeing results, there's nothing like seeing some awesome results. I think it's funny too, you have, switching gears a little bit, you have a pug, and I think that is so awesome. Do you wanna, before we sign off, do you want to talk a little bit about your pug and kind of if you're traveling with him or her, or what that's looking like? Because people do have a lot of questions about what they do with their pets when they travel.
Yes, so I travel with the most cutest, bestest, I'm using improper grammar, amazingest pug ever. His name is Gumbo. I named him Gumbo because we're from Louisiana, and I got Gumbo probably about like 9 months before I started travel nursing, so he was already potty trained and stuff. I do think that's a big it would be so hard to get a new puppy while travel nursing and trying to potty train, because your schedule, when you know, one of the most important things for puppies is the routine and the schedule, and that travel nursing is far from routine and like a good schedule. But yeah, so I got him potty trained before I started traveling, and he has been the best travel partner ever. Anytime I'm feeling lonely, because there are a lot of times where as a travel nurse, especially like me, if you're traveling alone, there are times like it's not all what it's made out to be on Instagram. There are struggles of being a travel nurse, and one of the biggest parts is sometimes you do just feel so lonely. And Gumbo has been my little like emotional support animal. I need to have him registered as one, because like I can't live without him. I'm obsessed with him. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about making him his own Instagram.
Love.
People will, as far as traveling with a pet, it has not been that difficult. People will tell you, I mean, it's definitely going to be harder to find housing with a dog, because there's lots of landlords and renters that don't want pets in their facilities, but it's not impossible. Anytime I've gotten on Airbnb or a furnished finder or any of the other, you know, the travel nurse, Gypsy Traveler Facebook page, as long as most of them have filters you can set, you can put like that it's pet friendly, and then you're only going to get results that allow pets. I know almost every traveler I know travels with a pet, so it's really not that difficult. If you want to travel with your pet, I would just recommend that it's not like a puppy and you've already got it trained pretty well, and that you're gonna, and you have to figure out what you're gonna do for it while you're at work. You don't want to, you know, leave them for 12 hours, but most of the time, I mean, with technology today, there's all those apps, you know, like Rover and stuff, where you can hire a dog walker to come walk your dog while you're gone. So there's definitely ways to get around it. If you have any questions about traveling with a pet, you can always reach out to me. I have people that travel with one of my good friends, she travels with her rabbit. I know people that travel with lizards, cats, dogs, rabbits.
Love it.
I think
it.
That's all. I think I knew one of the travel nurses I worked with in St. Louis traveled with a snake.
Oh, my God.
yeah, it's definitely possible, and I highly recommend it, especially for the companionship. Gumbo is my bestest friend in the whole wide world.
Oh, that is so sweet. I love that you mentioned Rover too, because I definitely use Rover. My puppy right now is with Rover. They're awesome, and they can definitely just do drop-ins too. I also have had a lot of people come on and recommend, if you're able to get, you know, not everyone can, but a town home, or if you're in a freestanding home or anything where you're on the ground level when you are doing or finding your housing, which is more often than not. Some people think that's crazy, but there's actually a lot that are able to find it depending on what city you're in. If you're working through, you know, any sort of specific agency too, they have a lot of options, but they're able to put in those, like sliding door, doggy doors almost. And a lot of travelers have those where they can like make, like it like works with the sliding door. So it's not adding equipment. It's not like tearing out a door or anything like that. It's just, it works with the sliding doors that your puppy or cat or whatever it is can go outside without you being home. I've heard of that too. But yeah, any sort of service is definitely a good idea. I love that too. I feel like I could never be without Winnie. So I totally understand that feeling. Aww. It's like, you know, but then you're so right though, with long shifts and stuff like that, you don't want to leave them inside, but there's so many people to help you out. So don't let that deter you, because there's a ton of options.
Yes.
I'm so glad you came on today. This is so fun. Do you have anything else that you want to add? I know I'm going to totally like pimp you out to our people, but everybody needs to follow Isaac on Instagram. He's going to give you his handle here in just a second. But he is so lovely. He's so hilarious. He's doing a takeover on the Wanderly IG on May 16th. But I met him at this Zoom meetup where we weren't being professional. We were just all being us as nurses. And it was so fun. And he's hilarious. So you guys are getting to know his more serious side. But you've got to follow him for his funny side, too, because he is a blast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And, yeah, like, it's weird for me to be professional. I'm not.
Same.
I was kind of nervous about this podcast because, like, okay, don't say anything stupid, because I told Kelly once before we even started this podcast, I was like, I'm one of those people that stuff just flies out of my mouth, and I'm just as shocked as everybody else as what comes out. So I've been trying to be very mindful of what I say. But, yeah, if you want to follow me, I'm on Instagram at Nurse Isaac. That's nurse, and then I spell Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, because people spell it differently. But yeah, if you have any questions about the stuff we've talked about today, as far as like any new nurses that are wondering about going straight into a specialty outside of school, I can talk to you about how to network with facilities, you know, what you need to be doing in your clinicals and your preceptorships, maybe getting a job as a nurse tech or something like that. As far as weight loss, I'm not any type of certified personal trainer, but you can reach out to me and I can talk to you about what I did, what works for me. I think the most important thing is like what Kelly said, you have to find something that you enjoy doing, because I hate working out as well. But CrossFit is something I love doing. And actually, you talking about SoulCycle, I just bought a Peloton bike because I've found that I like spin classes too. So that's something I can do. I have to feel like I'm not working out to enjoy it. So, yeah, if you want to reach out to me and talk to me about weight loss or fitness stuff, like I said, I'm by no means a personal trainer, but I would love to talk to you more about that. And then, again, just traveling with pets, board certifications, any of the stuff we've talked about today, feel free to follow me on Instagram, message me. I will be more than happy to talk to you about it. And like she said, if you follow me, you're likely to see some of my more funny, unprofessional side on my Instagram. But yeah, thank you so much for having me, Kelly. This has been really fun.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's so funny to me how it all works out. And also just kind of these podcasts are a good way for people to get to know you. But I'm glad we've directed them towards your Instagram, because that's the real Isaac. And it is so funny. Before we got on here, I reshared your story that you were coming on. And I had a couple people like, get the bleep button ready, or, oh, I can't wait for this. And I just thought that was hysterical. So Isaac has a huge following of travel nurses. He's really active in the travel nursing community, you guys. So make sure that you go follow him, check him out, and send him your questions. He's not just saying that kind of stuff. He's an awesome resource, and he's really been through it. And none of the stuff that he's gone through has been easy. So it's like he knows exactly how to do it by putting his head down and working hard. And that's the kind of people that we like. There's no handouts in this situation, and that's really awesome. He's worked for everything that he's had, and we're lucky to have him as a part of the Wanderly family. If you guys want, yeah, sugar. If you guys guys want to keep listening or see more episodes, you can definitely check us out. We're on iTunes and Spotify. You might have found us through this way with the link in bio or something like that. But we do have a ton of episodes. I think we're over 100 now, but who knows? But we try to cover everything in travel nursing and bringing new people. I hope you guys all have a fantastic, fantastic rest of your nurses week. If it's not over, I'm not sure when this is going out, but I hope that you're having a great week. I hope that you feel supported and encouraged. That's how we feel here at Wanderly. For everybody, just one more time, that is Nurse Isaac Harris, and he's awesome. He's traveling right now in Northern California. He's an ER nurse, a wonderful human being, and can help you guys out with some of your fitness goals, so be sure to go and check him out. I'm Nurse Kelly. I'm the Chief Nurse Advocate for Wanderly. That's another episode of The Happy Traveler, and we'll see you guys all next week.